Someone next to you, give them a high five, a hug, a kiss, or something like that. Everybody doing good tonight?
Yeah.
If you're not doing good, we're glad you're here. We pray that the Lord would encourage you tonight. So a very interesting article on the internet, a church, several thousand, 5,000, 6,000, I believe it was, they sent a letter out to some people in their church. And the letter went to people who had been in the church for years. Everyone say years. They had been in the church for years, and they were not involved in a small group in that church. They were not serving anywhere, and they were not giving financially. And so the pastor decided to send this letter to them, and he says, you've been here for several years. Everyone say years. So this doesn't apply to somebody visiting. You've been here for several years. You don't go to small group. You are not involved volunteering, and you don't give financially. So basically, you're freeloading. So we would like you to consider going to another church. And I was like, I want that letter. And so the reason I kept saying years, some of y'all are visiting, you just knew, you know, you're just trying to figure out what's going on. But there are some of you in here who possibly have settled into being a visitor. And that's your out. You know, I'm just checking out, but it's like 3 years now. And at some point, you got to fish or cut bait. And so we would like to challenge you to decide what you want to do. Because being part of a church is different than sitting in a room. And really getting everything out of what the purpose of the church is about being involved. It's about giving of yourself, your time, your talent, your treasure. And so I want to encourage you to decide and do something about that, like today. Okay, like today. And here's a perfect example. We have a children's church, Rock Kids, four of the five services, the three morning services, and this service right now. And last week, and many times, we have to send people, tell people they can't drop their kids off because we don't have enough volunteers taking care of it. That's crazy. That's like, the one thing that makes me most mad and yell at meetings, and I don't yell at meetings a whole lot, I really don't yell at all, hardly, but the most thing that gets me burnt is to hear that we have to turn away kids because people won't volunteer. That is insane. And the first people who should be volunteering are the people who are dropping the kids off. So if you're dropping your kids off, pay it forward and get back. But there's plenty more of you out there who are doing absolutely nothing, and you love kids. Go in there and help, because we don't ever want to turn away a family, especially someone who's come here for the first time with their three kids, and they go through all the hassle to get there, and then we got to say, you got to sit outside. Because we should never, ever have to do that. So I want to encourage you to go sign up after if you so feel led to do that. Amen?
Amen.
May y'all awake? Okay, very good, very good. If you're here for the first time, you're like, dang, it's kind of hard. Yeah, that's kind of how we roll sometimes. Yeah, we just got to, but don't worry about it. Just relax. And I got a tweet saying, I don't know which part of the sermon this person was referring to, but he felt like it was a guilt trip. I ain't putting a guilt trip on you. Just telling you what the Bible says. So, but don't cheat yourself out of what God has for you. And, you know, in a big church, you can hide. Don't take advantage of the ability to hide. We want you to get everything God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And I pray that you would challenge people accordingly, whether it be here or in North County, to do what they're supposed to do and not try to cut corners in their relationship with you. Thank you for your patience, and we pray you challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
By the way, if you're not in a community group, we are going through my new book called God in the Mirror. You can get it in the bookstore. And it's all about being made in the image of God. And that's what this series is about. So turn. Let me see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bible. Say word.
Word.
Very good. One more time. Say word.
Word.
Let's see your pens.
Yeah.
Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And any service, you should feel free and compelled to write down in your lesson plan whatever God speaks to you. Today there are no fill-ins in the lesson plan. That's fine. You still have white paper you can write on. So I would challenge you to come to church every time you come to church saying, God, please speak to me about my life. That should be your challenge. Talk to me about my life. Okay? So if you hear something, write it down because you will forget it. Amen? They are three times or several times in a person's life, and I refer to women specifically, where you can see a physical glow. When they're pregnant, I have predicted 10 times or so women being pregnant before they knew it or told me. Just tell them. I said, you're pregnant. And they go, how did you know? I just found out, or I'm getting ready to have a test, or I've been feeling sick. I said, I could just tell. I'm looking around this room seeing if I see any pregnant ladies in there. Some of y'all are like, when a woman is in love, you know, she, what happened? Nothing. There's a glow. When a woman's getting married, there is a discipline called biophotonics. Everyone say bio.
Bio.
Say photonics.
Biophotonics.
Bio, biology, living things. Photonics, photon is the smallest unit of light. It travels 186,000 miles per second, and the only thing faster than light is darkness running away. You just got that one, right? You turn a light on, darkness never says, hold up, I'm not ready. No, darkness is gone. Okay. Biophotonics is a study of light coming out of or being emitted from living things. They're starting to measure the health of fruits and vegetables by measuring the light coming out of them. Light comes out of people. The more healthy you are, the younger you are, the more light comes out of you. And if you see some people that are old, especially right before they die, they'll just be real dusty looking. It's not a lot of light being emitted. And then when they die, zero light's being emitted. I have this theory, or my opinion means what? But this is pretty interesting, that Adam and Eve had so much light coming out of them before they sinned that you couldn't see their nakedness. And then when they sinned, their light was muted like it is today, and you were able to see, they saw they were naked. So for sure, for whatever reason, when they sinned, you could see their nakedness. It could have been the light went whoosh. Well, today, you and I have physical light coming out of us. It's very dim. The Bible says that we are to be the light of the world. And look what it says in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all of the house. We are to be la luz del mundo, the light of the world. Now, a light helps you see reality. It helps you see your way. It helps you understand where to go. It helps you understand what's around you, your environment. God says there's physical light, but or natural light, but then there's also spiritual light. And God created us in his image so we can be the light of the world. Now, we started a series 2 weeks ago called God in the Mirror, which is based on the book, on my book, and it's based on the fact that God made us in his image. So when he looked at us, it'd be like he was looking in a mirror. And then when people saw us, it'd be like they were seeing God. Of course, not God on the throne, but they would see God's love, God's patience, God's kindness, God's wisdom. They would experience that. And we are basing this series on the acronym or the word image, I-M-A-G-E. The I means that we are all individually unique. Talked about that last week. Every single one of you are individually unique person. And God gave you his I am factor, made you a creature above all other creatures in the whole world. The M, which is what we're going to talk about today, the M in the word image means moral mirror. Everyone say moral mirror. Very important, muy importante, that God created you not to create your own morality, but that you would reflect his morality because your righteousness is like filthy rags. Very important. No other creature can understand the Word of God. No other creature can interact with the Word of God, teach the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, be led by the Word of God like us. And God created us in a way that we can receive his morality, his concept of right and wrong, and reflect his morality back to him and out to the world. So when people saw you react to evil, they would say, that's how you're supposed to do it. Then when they saw you react to kindness or people stabbing you in the back, that they would see how you're doing. Now, let me say this before I go any further. I want to tell you what I'm going to do at the end of this message because I forgot to do that today. At the end of this message, I am going to pray and ask you who want to be holy to come up here. It's an altar call. You're going to pray, you're going to stand up and come in. And the reason I'm telling you this now is because a lot of y'all are saved, and, you know, you see other people get saved, you think, oh, that's for them. No, this is going to be for all of y'all. Because some of y'all's relationships with God are like this, they're kind of just like level. And you're comfortable right where you're at. And this is saying, you know, God, I don't want to be like, I want to take it to another level. Some of y'all have a very comfortable amount of sin in your life. In other words, you do sinful things and you say, you know, these are over here and I'm good with that and I'm just, my Christianity will be here. It's time to say, no, I'm not going to let that, I'm not going to accept that anymore. Some of y'all watch pornography today. And you do it on a regular basis, but you go to church, you conduct your Christian life as separate. That's not, no. You want to say, I need to deal with that. Some of y'all slept with somebody, you're living with somebody, and you had sex before you came here today, and you're saying, word Jesus, and you're comfortable with that. And so this altar call is to say, you know what, I want to be holy. Matter of fact, look at number one in your notes. Look at number one in your notes. Number one says we are created to be holy and reflect God's morality, not our own. 1 Peter 1:15 says, be ye holy. Everyone say, be ye holy. Everyone say, be ye holy. How many of y'all went to Catholic school or went to Catholic church at some point in your life? Raise your hand real high. Okay, like 85% of y'all. Okay, I grew up Catholic school, and when you go to Catholic church, you walk into the door, into the lobby, or through the front doors. They're always big, gigantic, heavy wooden doors and metal. And as soon as you open it, Jesus is looking at you like this. Yeah. Can I get amen? Catholic church is a scary place, baby. You got dudes all over the room just watching your every move. But they got holy water. And I used to think holy water was H2O plus something else. Like God, he did something in there. Because they did this incense around it. They did some stuff on it. I was like, whoa, what is that stuff? And really, they prayed for it. It was still H2O, but what made it holy was that they set it aside for something special. That was the same water they baptized the babies in. It was set aside. When my daughter was born, our first daughter, when you come through the vaginal canal, your head gets bent into a point of a cone to get out. And then after some weeks and months, it gets round for most people. Saying there's some cone heads up in here today. I'm sure there's some cone heads over in North County too. You see some people just got a little point like that here. My daughter had a point to the side. She looked like Gumby. And for all y'all who are old enough, Bobby Brown. You remember Bobby Brown had that thing right here? When you have a baby, your first baby, it's the first time your heart lives outside your body. You have your second baby. Yeah. Third, fourth, five, fifth, they just pop them bad boys out. But the first one, we didn't want anyone holding her when she was born. We wanted her all to ourselves. That's holy. God says, I want you all to myself, and then I'll work on you. But I want to be the focus of your life. I don't want to share you with other interests. You can have other interests, but I am number one, numero uno. Me, God. Not me, if you don't know I'm talking about God. I'm talking for God. How? Turn to Psalm 119, the very middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the very middle of the Bible. It says, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? Everyone say, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? And by the way, anytime you see young man, young woman, person, by taking heed according to God's word. Now, here's a question. Raise your hand. Everyone raise your hand. Just get warmed up. Make sure you can do that. Okay, very good. We know what that means. Okay, raise your hand if you want God to bless your finances. Yeah. How many want, raise your hand if you want God to bless your relationships? Oh, yeah. You want the right man. You don't want the wrong man. Or you want the right woman, right? A woman is a woman. A wombed man. A wombed human. Okay. How many of y'all want the right career? Good. Don't get lazy on me. There we go. There we go. How many of you want wisdom and God, and you want to know stuff that you didn't learn, that you can't possibly know, especially in the time you need to know it? Very good. Take heed according to God's word. That's how. Look what it says next. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart and memorized it, that I may not sin against you. We are created to be moral mirrors and to reflect the righteousness of God. And guess what frames the mirror is God's word. God's word is the frame. In other words, make decisions all within the parameters of God's word. When you start making decisions outside of what God's word allows you, that is called sin. Oh, I'm going to listen to talk show radio. Well, what's the Bible say? Well, this is different. Sin. In other words, I'm not saying they're going to have to tell you what the Bible says, but if their opinion about how you should live and spend your money or spend your time or conduct your sexual or your life, physical life, or what you should eat contradicts what God would say, don't listen to it. Now, they don't have to say the Bible says to be agreeable with the Bible. But if their principles are outside the parameters of the Word of God, and they're giving you something over and above what God would say, or something that contradicts the principles of the Bible, you got to stay away from that. How can a young man cleanse his way? It applies to every area of your life. Y'all seen a stoplight? Everyone seen a stoplight? Yes?
Yes.
Take a deep breath in. Say yes.
Yes.
When it's red, you are supposed to do what? Very good. When it's green, you're supposed to do what?
Go.
When it's yellow, you're supposed to do what?
Go.
I don't know what that was. Some of y'all said speed up. Some of y'all said slow down. Some of y'all said think about it. I don't know what that means. Okay. It means that red is coming, so you need to act accordingly, okay? If you don't obey the red and you go when it says stop, bad things happen. If you stop when it's green and it says go, bad things happen. God says, I just want you to obey the signs. When I tell you red, you stop. When I tell you go, when I give you a left arrow, right arrow, you obey. That's it. It's just simple. It's not a hard concept. And all of you in here had a parent telling you, I told you not to do that. It's simple. And you had a consequence. It's the same exact thing. Lord, I want to be holy, set aside just for you to do whatever you want. And I'm going to do it your way. That's what it means. Now, if you say, I want to be blessed by God, and you leave this room and do what you want, you're not telling the truth. You're deceiving yourself. You're raising your hand because everybody else is raising their hand. Ha! That's high school. God knows your heart, and he knows you. I don't want to do it. I'm just going to raise my hand. He knows you're lying. Be truthful. I really want to be holy. The problem is a lot of us are what we call... Point number two, I am imposters making up our own rules. Look at number two. Number three, did I say three? It says, as I am imposters. Is that correct? And what number is that?
Three.
Okay, I am imposters. We create our own morality. I was at a restaurant, or a banquet, it wasn't a restaurant, it was a banquet. We were eating dinner, and I was sat at a table with this people I didn't know, and this lady was sitting next to me. She was older than me, which doesn't really matter. And I said, tell me, you go to church, you believe in God. Well, I have my own theory. I said, tell me about your own theory. I believe we should all love each other and respect each other and have the right to believe what we want to believe, and we just kind of wanted with the universe. I said, that sounds very interesting. Where can I learn more about this theory? I want to learn more. Do you have a book? Do you have a class? Is there a church I can go to? She said, no, it's not written down anywhere. It's out there, and it's just there. And I said, well, do I go to NASA? Is it out in space? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I don't understand. I want to learn more. She said, well, no, it's just my belief. I said, you just made all that up. Not for real. You just made that up. God says, I'm not giving you the prerogative to make stuff up. Made up stuff and beliefs of the secular world sometimes sound biblical, sometimes. And they're very, hey, that sounds pretty good. I want you to look at this mirror. Now, I want you to look at the screen. Because, just look at the screen, because that's where I'm going to be referencing it. And I'll give you... I'm going to find my double head. Ew! Ew! I can hear you really good right now. I know that some of y'all got high last night, and you are like tripping right now. Like, church is the bomb. Hey, man, I like that. Look at that humpback, dude. Look at that humpback. Now, if I go in the right position, like right there, looks pretty normal, except from here down, but right here, yeah. Sometimes it looks normal. What? Sometimes it looks, are you okay? Sometimes it looks normal, and then sometimes, look at that, look at that, that's a V-neck right there. Sometimes you can hear people, that is a distorted mirror, can I get an amen? But every now and then it looks normal. And when you hear people talk, you'll always hear a hint of, what's wrong with that part? You'll hear people say, everyone should be able to believe whatever they want, and we should respect everyone's belief. Now, that sounds pretty noble, but it's not. What if my belief was, I'm going to smack all white people and Mexican people and brown people who are darker than me in the head when I see them? Do you think that's wrong or right? You're a bigot. Who are you to say that I can't do that? What's your basis? Where'd you get your right and wrongness from? If you believe everyone should have their own opinion and you should respect their own opinion, you can't ever tell me that I'm wrong about anything. You hear this all the time. I should be able to love whoever I want to love. What if I want to love a little kid? Who are you to say the age I should stop and not love somebody? Who are you to say that? You're a bigot. If it's going to be for everybody, it's got to be for everybody. There's a law in logic called the law of non-contradiction. The law of non-contradiction says that something can't be equal to something else and at the same time not be equal to something else, that same thing. In other words, A, the letter A, which is a variable, it could be a house, it could be a car, it could be a belief system. A cannot be equal to B and at the same time not be equal to B. In other words, you cannot say this is a podium and at the same time say it's not a podium. You can't do that. That is not logic. So you can't say, oh, we should all be able to believe whatever we want, but you can't believe that. That is a contradiction. So if our society is saying we should tolerate everybody, well, then tolerate me then. I want to smack people in the head. And if you're not going to let me smack people in the head, then you're not tolerating me. I just heard today that this track team in Texas, they were in a tournament. They won the tournament, and they were going to go to the next level in high school state track, and they point up to heaven like that, and they got disqualified. Now, were they pointing to God? Most definitely. Hey, Jesus, whatever you want to do. Oh, no, you can't do that. So what they're going to do is they're going to intimidate everybody saying, you can't represent God. Now, you can do whatever you want. You just can't do that. So for all y'all who say, well, you know, we should respect everyone's opinion, you don't believe that yourself. You don't. There are some things that are just straight up wrong. My daughter played soccer, got Little League. Oh, we don't want to crush anybody's self-esteem. Give them all a trophy. Well, some of them kids just are no good. They're just not. You can give a trophy, you were on the team. Yes, I was on the team, but don't tell the kid he was good when he wasn't. Tell them to keep trying. You know what? Keep trying. My daughter, the ball would come and she would just go. That is not what you do when you play soccer. You know how much we told her, kick, scream, you know, kick the ball, blah, blah. Oh, nice ball, nice ball-y. So who decides what's right and wrong? God. Well, who's to say your God decides right and wrong? Let me tell you why it's Jesus. Because he came, he lived 33 years. He never sinned. He walked on water, raised the dead, healed the blind and mute. And then he said, all of you are sinners and you're going to die. And people die. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to die on the cross for you. They're going to bury me for 3 days and then I'm going to get up. And after I get up for 3 days, I'm going to walk around. You're going to see me and touch me. And then I'm going to ascend into heaven and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And at some point, I'm going to come back and get you. But if you don't believe in me, I won't come back and get you. And you'll spend eternity somewhere else that I prepared for the devil. Now, while I'm listening to him, if I live in, you know, 25 AD and I'm listening to him going, whatever, dude dies. Oh, snap, he died. Just like he said. They put him in a tomb. He rose from the dead? Now I have to reevaluate everything he said, because if he rose from the dead, this dude can keep back up what he says. And then he says, I'm coming back, and he ascends to heaven? I'm believing that guy. All the other, Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, whoever, you know, whoever you want to do, Mormon, hey, those people are dead. They're dead. And Jesus, the guy who rose from the dead and went to heaven, said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, you can have a problem with that. You have the freedom to say, I don't believe that. Doesn't mean you're right. And how are you going to explain telling someone who rose from the dead that he was wrong when you're dead? And you can't even control your own life. So, when Jesus says, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me, I believe that. When Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, who was Jesus, the Word is the red and black letters. Hey. I'm believing that guy. And here's the other evidence of who is right and wrong about what right and wrong is. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. When you live outside the parameters of the mirror, remember, this is the Word of God, the parameters. When you live outside the parameters of the Word of God, death happens. Our society will tell you, you can have sex with whoever you want. Go ahead. You will experience death. You have sex outside of marriage between a man and woman who they're faithful to each other. If a man and woman who are faithful to each other have sex the way that the right way, there are wrong ways to have sex, by the way, and you have sex the right way, you will never get a disease. You will never have an unwanted pregnancy. You will never have a divorce. You will have life, 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 life. Problems come is when we go outside of the parameters. Culture will tell you to live outside of the parameters all day long. Look at all the disease and death outside of the parameters. That's all you got to do. Some of y'all right now are living with people. You're sleeping around now. Look at the death in your heart. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But that's the way you assume, hey, this is the way it is. You are experiencing death over and over and over again. And then you say, well, it's so hard to find a good person. Yeah, because everybody's living out here. And you're looking for the person out here. You're going to the club, shaking your moneymaker, trying to get a guy in here, and you're living out here. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And then you come to church all sexy, trying to say, hey, trying to look like Mary, but you're on Jezebel on the weekend. Okay? You have to decide where you're going to live. You're going to live out here, you're going to live in here. And all you have to do is look at the fruit of your life. Some of y'all got money problems because you're not honoring God with your money. It's not your money. God is not blessing your finances. That's why you got issues. And you're like, I got all this money, yet I have no money. Why? God's not blessing it. Why is he not blessing it? Because you're not using it within the parameters of God's word. You're holding on to it. You're not tithing. You're not giving. You're not giving over and above your tithe, being an offering. You're not being generous. So why should God be generous to you? And so it's just really a matter of decision. Do I want to be holy, and do I want to do what God's right, and do I want to reflect the righteousness of God, the Word of God, in every area of my life? Do I want to go down my sex life, my relationships, my career, my education, my health? Do I want to do what the Bible says and treat my body like the temple? Someone asked me the other day, can you smoke marijuana because it's legal? Whether California makes something legal or not doesn't make it right or wrong at all. This is the temple. You wouldn't smoke a cigarette in this building once they put pot in your body. Matter of fact, we had a guy sitting right there on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock service. I believe it was 7 o'clock service. Sitting right there, smoking a joint in church on a Sunday night. Right there. No lie. How many of y'all don't believe me, think I'm making this up? Shut your mouth. I'm not making this up. This girl, I don't make nothing up. This girl was sitting there. She was sitting right there, and she literally, I was, you know, it was like a little rumble right here, just a little rumble, rumble. And this girl stood up, and she did this. She went, he's smoking weed. No lie. Is that girl here, by the way? Who is she here? She got up. She said, I need to say something. You can tell. He's smoking weed. The dude was just lit up a joint right there. Now, everybody in the room was like, that is wrong. Well, who's to say? Everybody in the room don't make the rules. I don't make the rules. God. It's wrong. Some things that you know are wrong just by because you have a conscience, the baseline of right and wrong. If you don't understand the concept of right and wrong, you see someone beating a kid, this is my child, and this is my belief system. Whoa. You know it's wrong. Well, if you're tolerant, you need to leave them alone. It's none of your business. You're a bigot for thinking she's wrong. Let them believe what they want to believe if you are tolerant. I had a conversation with a guy. It was like an argument conversation. We were talking about absolute truths. Some things are always right and some things are always wrong, where our society will say there are no absolutes. Everyone can believe what they want. So I'm having this argument. I said, look, brother, there are absolute truths. He said, there are no absolute truths. I said, are you sure? He says, I am absolutely sure. I said, are you absolutely sure there are no absolute truths? He says, I am absolutely sure. I was like, ain't that ironic? Ain't that an absolute statement? Even if someone says to you, you can't have any rules, that's a rule. You will always have rules. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin. They had rules. Don't eat from that tree. There's never no rules. Even God has rules for himself. He says, I'm holy. I only live within the frame of my own word. Only. God cannot sin. So there's always rules. Society wants you to believe whatever you want to believe. You can make up your own rules. God says, I want you to be holy. I want you to submit yourself to me, and I want you to give your life to me. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and that's going to be your opportunity. Say, Lord, I give up. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, because some of y'all have been here over and over and over again. You hear this all the time. You see people come forward all the time. And you are in a rut. What I mean by that is you have a habit. You come to church already preconceived ideas about what's going to happen. In other words, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to sit, maybe I lift my hands because that's what I do, or I don't lift my hands, so that's not going to happen. I'll sing, I'll go 15 minutes late because I'm not into singing anyway, I just want to hear the word and laugh. And you have your pattern. Stop it. Break the pattern. I was watching these guys yesterday in the ultimate, what is it called? The ultimate, cross-training competition. Dudes were, they weren't even all ripped. They were just really strong. And they were lifting up 325, 345, 55 pounds to here. Okay, one dude had no shirt on. He was yoked. I was like, I want that body. And they were talking about cross-training, and they said, if you do the same thing every day, it's the worst thing you can do in order to improve. You have to change it up and shock your body all the time. And when I was a kid, we did bench press. Then the next day we did curls. It was all the same thing. They said, that's the worst thing you can do if you want to grow and be strong fast. The fastest you can go. If you just want to waste a lot of time. So when you come and sit in the same seat, do the same thing, you are minimizing your ability to learn, okay? So we're going to have an altar call. We're going to ask people to come right down here, right here. Boom, boom, boom. You're like, I'm never going to go down there. That's not my deal. I'm already saved. You see this black line on the floor? I don't know if you can see it. There's a black line that goes right around the floor right here. That is the shape and size of the Holy of Holies, where in the temple that the God, the Ark of the Covenant was. And it goes 30 feet, 30 feet, and from here up 30 feet. And we did it on purpose. You're going to say, Lord, I want to be holy. Some of you are watching pornography. Lord, I got to get rid of it. You're addicted to alcohol, drugs, whatever. You got sexual relationships, whether it be homosexual, heterosexual, that are poisoning your body. Huh. And you know it. And you're experiencing death and you're holding on to it. And God's saying, I love you. And by the way, God loving you doesn't mean he approves. He just loves you. It's breaking his heart. And you're going to say, Lord, I'm ready to give up. So let's all bow our heads. Close the eyes. If you're in North County, I want you to get ready. God has something better for you. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. And Lord, you know all everything about us, and you like breaks your heart to see us hold on to poison in our life. Poison. We need to let that poison go. We need to walk away from it. Even complacency is poison. Routine is poison. And I pray that you would challenge people to step out of their comfort zone tonight and put themselves out there and say, I want to be holy. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I don't care how long you've been saved or if you've never been saved, that you want God to be numero uno in your life. You know that you were created to be holy, and you want to be holy, set aside just for him. You and your marriage, your friends, your health, you want every area of your life to be in line with the Word of God. And you know there's a process to get there, but you're committed to that process. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I want to be holy. I want to be set aside just for you. I want your holiness, your righteousness to reflect off my life. I want to surrender everything to you that I am. I surrender everything to you. Thank you, God. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you right now. And before I ask you to stand up, I want you to think twice. Be honest with yourself. I don't want you to hold on to anything. I'm challenging you, asking you, begging you not to hold on to anything that is killing you, that is getting in the way between you and God. If you want to let that thing go, I want you to stand up right now. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all over the room. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.